Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Cape, your Cerakote, and we're keeping it geekly with our new guest, Chris Solis. We're here to break down his brand new awesome comic, A Flag to Fly, and everything in between. Chris, welcome to the stream. In the brightest day, in the darkest night, we're here to keep it geekly tonight.
Amen. I am excited to be here. Thank you so much for the chance to come and talk to your audience. It is still a dream coming true as I make comic books and come talk to everybody that I love.
Oh, dude, I'm going to leave this interview with my head far too big. I'll have to get like a stick with a wheel on it to hold my head while I'm walking.
Dude, get it, because you deserve it. All the indie people that you guys highlight, I'm always grateful to find all the books that I do through you guys.
It's literally just as important, though, being a creator, because you offer a job to all those creators that we highlight and as well. You know, you have a whole creative team helping, you know, create your vision. But first Amen. And foremost, before we dive into this book, let's start with the basics of who you are and how you got into creating comics.
Yeah, for sure. I am Chris Solis. I am a longtime full-life pledged reader of comic books. Started doing punk rock and a lot of fun stuff and through my teens and 20s, and eventually went to go see Neil Gaiman talking about Norse mythology, who told me writers write. Something about that made me click so hard and just made me sit down and start write fiction. And it poured out of me, and I've loved it ever since. Since then, I've joined Scott Snyder's Substack class, who basically showed me that the community is out there to find and got me started really connecting with so many people. Being in the Tales from the Cloakroom Volume 1 anthology that started out of that class lit everything up, and I have not stopped or slowed down since, and it's been great.
Isn't it like something remarkable about a statement so simple that just packs such a punch? I had Matt Wilson on to talk about his book, and I asked him for a piece of advice at the end, and he's like, if you're an aspiring writer, stop. Be a writer. And I was just like, wow, dude. Like,
yeah.
Something about that just like,
dude, really. Our letterer was one of our first people that I ever pitched A Flag to Fly to. And he was just like, yeah, that's actually pretty good. Just do it. Make it happen. If you need to make it better, but get it done. And that stuck with me forever, too. Of just, yeah, if you want to make something, you should just make it.
Why not? Like, who's stopping you?
Who's stopping you? Yeah. You are. Yeah, exactly.
I deal with that every day, too, because, like, as a podcaster, I'm like, dude, I would love to do this. I would love to do this. And I just had a sit down where someone was talking about how they came from press to, you know, creation. And they're like, I literally felt like I was just doing reviews to keep myself from writing. And I'm like, dude, like, is this me? Like, with interviewing? Like,
hell yeah. If you follow your dreams, it's beautiful. Keep
so,
doing it.
What was that story that you created in the Scott Snyder's anthology? You know, what was that like for you?
Yeah, actually, it was just kind of a toe dip really quick. I wanted something fast and kind of explored a lot of the themes that Scott liked to enjoy, which action or a little darkness. And I came up with a spy thriller called Jacket Racket. And it follows Julia Ripley, which is an assassin for hire, but of the topest caliber. Mm-hmm. And she gets basically capitalism turns on her, where her company, and they now target her, and she has no idea. And that little quick 3-page turnaround of just her interacting with the company that's now after her sets up a whole bunch of stuff that I'm hoping just to touch on all throughout my career. I've come back to her and have some fun running around as a spy.
I really love that concept too. What was it like for you, you know, creating those 3 pages? I often hear if you're able to pack a story in 3 pages, you can do a book.
It came a lot that I was putting towards of issue by issue, making sure that you had a rise and fall, making sure that you hit kind of these important parts if you're doing the snapshot. But of course, the smaller, the more you have to realize what's important to pack in there. And it was not easy trying to come up with 3 pages. It could have definitely been 6 pages, but it hit it so hard, just so fast, that it felt exactly like that character should kind of do that.
It
was beautiful.
How'd you feel when you started getting those interiors back? Like the first time seeing your actual, you know, words come to life?
It was down to the wire, actually, trying to find the artist. I got my script accepted, but then didn't have the artist until probably a week after the deadline. So they gave me the time to really put it in there. And since it was only 3 pages, he knocked it out. Xenobrain, I forget exactly the name, but I know that's what he goes by on Instagram. And that was amazing. Jacket Racket shines only because of that art and just all the effort that went into there.
You know, beautiful. And there's a certain, you know, there's a certain wonder if maybe because it was past deadline that it like just forced that to come out. Like, I set timers. Like, if I'm editing or trying to do something, set 15-minute timers just to put that pressure.
Yeah, amen. I love that kind of stuff because it does. It breeds some innovation and kind of knocks you into like, I have to get this done. No matter how I get it done, it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. You're just going to accept that. But so many times it's brought up better ideas and things that I would have never thought of if I sat there for a week. You know,
that's awesome. Like we have J. Michael Miller joining us on YouTube. Crossover, a geekly flag to fly when? Has a ring to it. Has a ring to
it. I like it.
Speaking of a flag to fly, you said this idea came to you when you were, you know, before?
Yeah, actually, it's probably a good 5-6 years in development, but just more and more getting into comic books, I realized I wanted to start with an early story, and then I wanted something that kind of challenged younger readers. So it's mm-hmm. kind of designated a YA story, young adult, but my go-to is The Hobbit, where it was a child story, but opened up the world for so much bigger stuff. And I really want to try to do that with this. And a 6-issue miniseries is a perfect little encapsulation of exactly where this universe is at and what this fantasy little crowd has to go through to get there. It's a lot of fun and a lot of silliness. Lane Lloyd brings amazing art to it that adds a whole layer to it. Amazing art to it. Like, I had an idea going into this book that I wanted Sam Keith and Sword in the Stone crossed over. I wanted the Max mm-hmm. fight scenes, but I wanted Sword in the Stone characters. And after seeing Lane, it's just, that's a whole thing. My characters telling their jokes is perfect.
Oh, sorry about that. I was going to say, I didn't mean to cut you. I thought you might have froze there. We are having a little bit of internet issues here and there, guys. So if there's any freezing, no big deal. This stream is just obviously too hype to have that perfect connection.
That's
so
all the fires.
How'd you end up getting in contact with Lane? Like, how did that happen? I mean, they are such a phenomenal artist. I had them do a profile picture for me that just blew my mind.
Gorgeous. He did a story in the Tales from the Cloakroom Volume 1, mm-hmm. and it's amazing in that, so you should definitely check that out. Posts on Twitter. Twitter still connecting people when it did, and more and more I saw, it was just, yes, that fits exactly the tone I'm looking for. That's the theme I'm going for. Mm-hmm. His weird Spawn and Batman characters are so out there, but yet so recognizable that it's impossible not to think of stuff that you can do with that art. It's great.
It's funny you say that. I have their print of Batman up on my wall right now. I probably saw the same image. It was like, just like, wow, this is like the way they utilize just everything, the designs, the character designs, you know
it's Lane Lloyd the minute you see any of those pictures.
And it's so hard to have a style that unique and distinctive.
This late in the game of how many people have tried to really bend the rules or do their caricatures and everything else, it's great to find somebody with a unique style and really brings it every time they step up to the...
So who else is involved on this book?
For sure. I mentioned David Lentz. He is our letterer. He has great work on Good Boy and a lot of other things. Source Point, really special. Then there's Aubrey Lynn Jepsen, our editor. Amazing editor. Then there's Rachel Disler, who did a variant cover. Terry Siska
did
so
cool.
Dude, those covers are beautiful. And then I have Rob Jones did Beyond the Inner Cover. It's mm-hmm. gorgeous. All of these people, artists full and through, amazing to work with. I'm so proud of all the stuff that we got done.
This actually might be a geekly flag to fly. I had Rob do my logo, the Keeping It Geekly logo. Like, I'm just like, did
perfect.
This actually...
A nice little roundabout of people all coming up together. I love that. I love that feeling. Community.
What is a flag to fly about? I mean, when I read it, I felt so many different emotions, and there's so much that I want to get a chance to read through it again, because it felt like there's so much to unpack that, you know, you want to read it a second time because you know what to expect, so you look
now,
for things differently.
Yeah, so you can look for some stuff. Definitely, it is a comedy adventure fantasy, YA, like I was saying, but that's the kind of footnote for it. Either way, definitely leans into the older style of comic books of comedy first, adventure second, but all the way nonstop, just trying to keep it original. And you get that feeling of nostalgia for a chosen one kind of fantasy story of some kid's going to pull it from the stone and all of the questions will be answered, but you quickly realize no one is ready to be the chosen one in the story, and it's way fun watching them try to figure out who's going to be the leader in all of this.
And one thing I really love, even though this is a young adult, you know, book. It's, you know, for someone like me, I love like gore. I love like just brutal stuff. I really, really felt attached to some of the messages within this, like the, you know, not being able to live up to expectations. Like that is such a heavy hitting thing we go through as children.
Always, always. Thing that your parents kind of thought was the perfect emblem of your life. Mm-hmm. And you kind of realize it takes more than just being able to picture it. And that really touches on it. And then friendships there, a lot of great people in the book between Leon and George. Love those two and their little quick kitchen back and forth. And so much of that is like lifelong friends and Leon and stuff that like you can't learn to count on people. You need to look for who's actually worth being a leader. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to look at yourself, and that's what a lot of those characters are not doing, and it's great.
So, I mean, Leon, is that a nod to Resident Evil by any chance?
No, actually, I wanted lion themes for the family Ren.
Ooh,
and that's
like
kind of carried on, so Leong was that nice. They almost have the same name, and you can play with it a lot, and they can be confused a lot, mm-hmm. but I wanted lion themes throughout a lot of it.
I really like that.
It sounds powerful and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's cool. Cause we were talking about video games, you know, before backstage. So I was curious if there was like maybe some more Easter eggs. Like, are there any Easter eggs that keen eyed readers can expect?
I know.
Like that note, there was a note in there. I know when, the artist, whenever they're doing stuff, they like to hide little things. So when I looked at that note, I was like, yes,
yes, yes, I have written in the script, but Lane has it written beautifully and extra
perfect.
There is a nice nod to my older comedy roots of a Red Fox line in there. That one's great. The I'm coming, Elizabeth, if you ever remember.
yeah.
Sanford and Son. I loved Sanford and Son so much. So
that's awesome. You know, it's wild too. When you think of like how TV shows have evolved since then, right?
So much, yeah. Everything really has.
When you watch something like that, compared to like, you know, and a lot of stuff doesn't carry over like the taste of the era. But when you just watch like just production values and how shows, like how they would have to set up stuff differently, like
make stuff work, and mm-hmm. every time played it off expertly. It was just they sold it to me when I was watching it. I didn't think of it questions. Later on, you look at the production of it and it's cardboard stapled to some stuff and they just sold it. It's great. I love those old feelings of, I don't know, like even old Mexican sitcoms that they used to have. Zany, real fun stuff, slapstick comedy. Mm-hmm. You didn't really need to understand a lot, but you've got all the jokes.
Wake up at like 3 or 4 in the morning. It's like, low rider. Everyone jumped on the trampoline. You're like, all right, is that time?
Let's do this.
Hey, speaking of time, though, I think right now is the perfect time. Let's pull up the Kickstarter and let's see what all the hype is about. So, A Flag to Fly, number one, Fantasy Adventure, GOT, Sword in the Stone, $1,411 of a $3,300 goal, 43 backers, and 17 days left to go with Project We Love. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
First Kickstarter. How are you feeling about it?
So surprised on so many levels. Just, I knew getting the artist that I got to work on it could definitely get me noticed a lot of the way, but seeing the response from those artists really, really bumped up a lot, and seeing it actually noticed by Kickstarter and by the people who backed it early, by it, some of the premium tiers got scooped up really quick. That was just a huge thing and really great to see. And almost 50% there, and that's been amazing. Like, that's our first week. Beautiful.
Just straight killing it too. So let's take a look at some of these interiors. We have the cover right here. Who do we see here?
Yeah, this is Buck carrying Shin the Sorcerer and Leon, the nice little lord kid, clinging to their back. Lane Loy did, of course, this cover A, and this is the main one. It's, as you can tell, definitely them.
And I love like the color palettes Lane uses. Like it's just gorgeous.
It is. It highlights so much of that and gives you that real fantasy kind of feel.
And then the sorcerer. I love this with the purple iguana. It almost reminded me of like a Cheshire cat, but like a reptile version.
I loved it too. Really, that tail gives a lot.
Yeah.
That's great. And little Zilla.
And so what are we seeing happen here within these first pages? Give us a little bit of a breakdown.
Just a nice little introduction kind of moment Liang, the Lord of Titles Dead, where we have seen the flags flying up there in that first panel, is coming to check on his visitor and guest, Shin the Sorcerer, and he's kind of making sure that nothing's about to explode if he goes in the room. Shin, of course, tells him, "No, I've been here for 4 years. I've never blown up anything. Nothing's ever gone wrong." But Morn gets into it, just worried about the world, worried about the king that's causing trouble. Mm-hmm. Now they're expecting Bok, the Knight Commander, to come and give them a nice little rundown. We still see Shin preparing his little potion and feeding it to Zilla.
I love Zilla too. But, you know, what inspired you to give him a big, you know, big iguana like this?
You know, I have loved lizards for a mm-hmm. long time. I have never owned them myself, but it always seemed like a really cool wizard. Like, what are those? The
warlock?
Witches have them. Man, now I can't think of it.
Well, they're familiar.
That's yes, the word yes. I could not find. Yeah, familiars. And I like the idea of, you know, a sorcerer not having a raven or something stereotypical. Mm-hmm. A little lizard. It'd be great. If you named it after Godzilla, even better.
It kind of, you know, speaking of old movies, like Stone Cold from like the 1980s or whatever, the biker dude had the big Komodo dragon.
Yeah,
I'm like picking that up.
Right,
I love that. Yeah, he would feed him like milkshakes.
That, but man, that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. That is so cool. And guys, if you are watching, right here is the link. If you can't back, simply putting this wherever you can works as, you know, just as well. Word of mouth is 100% free. And check this out. There is a link to get a super preview right here. How many pages extra is going to be there?
Just 2 extra pages past that Kickstarter one, but still, that's 5 pages on Global Comic. Good old Global Comics really mm-hmm. holding it down for a lot of the indie crowd. A lot of fun stuff you should definitely sign up for.
And then right here are the rewards. So let's go ahead and check them out. So,
yeah, we've already gone past the early bird stuff. So sadly, we can't get those anymore. But
and then we have the add-ons. So before we get to the add-ons, though.
Yeah, go ahead. Start off with even a dollar if you donated towards the cause. We'll put your name in the thank yous. Help the cause. That's a nice little starter. Just anybody who can donate anything. We'll take mm-hmm. it. We
and then a PDF at $12, outstanding price. How many pages is this again?
22 pages, not including back matter. So we're probably looking at like 26. Hopefully.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And $3 more, you get a flag flyer. So the PDF credit in the book and a physical copy as well. So for $3 more, you're going to get that physical book in your hands. We have 15 or more, the B flag waiver. So is this cover B right here?
Yeah, it is by Rachel Disler. Amazing cover. But yeah, each cover gets its own tier if you want to do that and then add on whichever ones you want. If not, there is the... Oh, here we go. As this beautiful Leon just beat, trying to still stand up. I love it every time. The little
missing the tooth.
And, yeah, just completely beat. Knows exactly. No, it's, I'm trying.
And then we have the Flake Flyer Elite. So what is this going to be the sticker set included?
Sticker set included? Correct. We got Lane Lloyd doing stickers.
That's so awesome.
Really fun art and slap them all around. We love people getting the word out. Hopefully mm-hmm. it'll inspire the next issue. People
so is it spoiler to talk about this guy right here a little bit?
I mean, I don't think so. That assassin comes in pretty hot and pretty handed. What ends up happening at the end of that might be a little spoilery. But
so I was just curious about the design because I really love like the golden skull, the hood.
Yeah. So I gave pretty much just I wanted ninjas that also had Viking kind of gear on. And that Lane ran with, and more he came back with different characters. If you notice, each assassin has a different kind of motif that they're going for. Mm-hmm. But that guy was definitely the number one that I was like, this is the big one. Let's do that one as the sticker too. And I regret nothing. I think it's awesome.
And then we have pledge 25 or more, you get the Grand Flag Flyer Elite. So that includes everything listed previously, and then the 3-pack high quality cover prints as well. So are those prints down below?
Of each of the
covers
but okay. Those will be still dressed, still really nice 5x7s, high quality, but just something you can slap up and use as a poster or something while you read your book.
And then Bannerman, $40, get all 3 covers. We have the Lord Bannerman, which is going to get you all 3 covers, the 3-pack and the sticker set as well.
That's correct. That's one.
Give us
right.
a little bit the about this one. The Lord Collector, this looks like a heavy hitter.
So really fun. It gives you all the stuff, but it also gets you each three of the covers signed by me.
Ooh, very nice.
Fulfilling all of it. I will gladly sign if you would just give us a little bit extra. But yeah, it gets you all the stuff, gets you the sticker set, gets you the prints. Awesome collector's books.
And then we have the retail tier as well as the character premium. So they get to be a character in the story?
Correct. There's only one of those tiers. I would snatch it up as soon as possible. But yeah, we have issues 2 and 3 already kind of plotted out, and they have definitely rooms to design characters. So if you want to see Lane Lloyd put you in a comic book, we would gladly love to have you.
With and a pet of choice?
Yeah, a pet of choice if you'd like.
What about their fat cat?
Yeah, of course that fat cat.
I don't know if he would fit. He might take it might have to be a splash page.
You can play it into pretty it, huge. Maybe it's the fat cat has you as the pet. It's great.
you got me. You got me. Creator Lord Editor Premium Tier, $320. So this looks like the
Okay, so yeah, I am a huge believer in the comic community, and I have been just hoisted up and put on shoulders so high that I love every second of making comic books with these people, and I want to pass that along. I think an editor is one of the biggest parts that I got benefits from, and having somebody that knew the themes that I wanted to go and the style that I was looking for really guide my story towards that. And so I am offering 2 sessions with Aubrey Lynn Jepson, our editor. The editor of A Flag to Fly, also did editing on Tales from the Cloakroom. Amazing, amazing editor. We'll definitely work with you, and you get 2 sessions. So you give her a script, she'll come back with notes. You work on the script again, come back again, give it to her the script, and she'll give you more notes after that. And you can keep working back and forth if you need more or not. But she can also introduce you to artists that she's worked with. She is a letterer herself. If you need that. And just so much benefits come from working in a group. In people that want to make comics, it's good to have somebody, and I would love if people sign up for that because we need more comic books.
Yeah, and I mean, to the price for motivation, you know, being surrounded by people who are actively creating, who've actively have done it, that's invaluable. I mean, obviously this tier has a price, but like the what you can gain from it, like that could take you and lead you for years to come. Like definitely. Especially a good editor, you know, can have such a big impact on you.
As somebody who took Shelley Bond, who worked for Vertigo in their heyday, she has an editing class for comic books, and that is the hugest thing. Any of those online classes is just finding your community and getting to work with more people that want to work towards the thing that you want to work. And this is a great first step if anybody's just undecided if they want to do that or really want to take the time in their own story. This can make it shine and really pop it out for you.
And I mean, you're still getting
all of everything. Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a big bang for your buck. You're getting, you know, the editor session, but you're still getting, you know, Flag to Fly, issue 1, all 3 covers signed, naming credits, everything. Flag commission premium tier. So this looks like another big one too. So commissioned by Rachel Disler?
Yeah, Rachel Disler, just in case you want to get some of the premium perks with more art instead of your own writing. This is definitely for you. She does 5x7 commissions. So you call complete color up to 3 characters. You get to design it yourself if you'd like. If not, she will definitely throw in a Flag to Fly characters for you and give you something completely personal and just your own.
And so her style is gorgeous. I love this. Like so the assassins much. Coming off right here just looks so awesome.
So much of that back and forth. I love it. So good.
So, wow, this is the campaign in its entirety. Everyone watching right here is the link. Like I said previously, if you can't back, put this wherever you can because word of mouth helps just as much. And just getting that movement going is important. You know, the algorithm works in the creator's favor if people are helping boost that. So,
amen.
Chris, after, you know, going through that Kickstarter, what would you like to say to anyone who might be on the fence about backing?
It is just an indie comics dream and ready. Produced technically. I have all the art done in the issue 1, so there's not going to be any kind of delay of getting it ready. We have back matter being made right now by Dave Lentz, and that's going to be as soon as this thing funds and we're cleared for it on May 1st, it is going right over to Comic Impressions, our printer, and we will get that back turned around as soon as possible and as easy as possible with great books, great quality.
We have Prince Joe Manzono. Apologies if I pronounced that wrong. Over on Facebook, where is that available? Right there is that link for you to check out in chat. Be sure to check it out. And like I said, if you like what you see back, if not, just share it with your friends. So, Chris, you know, you seem, you know, so helpful with that tier to want to help the community. So I think this next question you're going to like. I always love asking for a little bit of advice to help the community. So with that being said, for anyone who's just having trouble getting motivated at starting, what would you say to them to kind of help them get that little kick?
Honestly, as much as it kind of serves my purpose, I would say get an editor. It could cost you out of pocket, but after the set, feel like you can believe in your story more. You know exactly what it was lacking and you can work on it. These things are huge. And if you don't just have the friends to have a writing circle and kind of bounce it around like that, hiring an editor can really help that. And I think it's super important to have those people just to kind of rein you back when you need, you're going too far with your ideas. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're great ideas, but you just, and they go complete to crap.
Well, and I mean, another thing is you could look at something all day long and not realize a mistake, where a fresh pair of eyes is going to be like, what is
it
this?
Is a huge value of just walking in. That's what's been bugging me this whole time, of course. Got it. Love that.
No, that is awesome. So, Chris, I mean, what have you been doing lately? You know, video games, comic books, movies. You know, what are you consuming?
I am replaying Breath of the Wild because Tears of the Kingdom is coming, and it is such an amazing game.
Get down on Mario Kart
all the time, bro.
We're gonna have to go head to head, dude.
I have the new courses. I have a lot of stuff. Me and my girlfriend often play that just to settle arguments. It's great.
Oh my god, to settle arguments. See, me and my girlfriend, we met through Bloodborne. So that's a little bit more vicious.
A little harder to settle arguments there after you die your 50th time. But yeah.
Oh my god, it's perfect because when they go to attack, you parry them in visceral attack. It's like, what were you saying again? Like
what?
So comic books, movies, you know, we talked game. Any of those that you're hitting too?
Yeah, I just picked up Know Your Station. Number 5, that's mm-hmm. the end of that little run, and that has been amazing. For as funny as it is to be that brutal inside is awesome. Scarlet Witch, Marvel's little take on their little series, that has been really great, just to see kind of them touchstone in her character of all the places that she's been already, mm-hmm. and kind of focus her into almost exactly. Okay, it's really great. Doggy brief after thought of Aftershock, mm-hmm. now that they're kind of done, that's been a blast. I'm really glad they've continued that, but comic book wise, that's where I'm still holding it down.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, Perry Mason on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
As saying that, it have watched that from season one. It's been gold.
You know, HBO is, they're making that weird move where they're like taking out Max or whatever. And then they're like, we're going to have the ultimate ad experience. It's like, okay. Like, and I see the meme. It's so funny. It's like, what are you going to do? Remove like the ad placement in movies?
Right. No, but
they're probably going to make it worse. They're probably going to hit that bottom tier with like double ads, like YouTube. If you're not subscribed to premium. Yes.
Yep.
So right now, I think it's a perfect time for us to wrap up. Chris, thank you so much for hanging out. It's been an honor. I can't wait to get you back on for issue 2. And thank everything else in the works, too. So with that being said, everyone, it's time for us to wrap up. I hope you all have a lovely day. Most importantly, keep it geekly.